As I said earlier, many people in Africa live because they say live. In fact, if you look at what is happening in our world today, when you talk about terrorism, you talk about war, you talk about anger among people, you talk about things that always bring fear into our life. If we don't send the gospel to people who are engaging in this act, surely you'll be in a situation that will find it very, very difficult. In fact, Ghana is surrounded by French-speaking countries. And most of these countries are dominated by Muslims. And we are fortunate for now that these Muslims are not radicalized. They are not extremists. If you don't take care and these people who are in other countries who are extremists come in there and change their minds to become extremists, it's very difficult for us to live among these countries. And therefore, we try to reach those countries to help us live. In fact, if you look at your scriptures, you clearly understand that Jesus Christ was the hope of Israel, and he was also the hope of Gentiles, and is the hope of the world. When Jesus Christ was born, before he was born, Israel went into captivity, and God gave them hope as a result of the coming of Jesus Christ. And though the Gentiles were not part of the original Israel community, however, God, through the prophets, prophesied that when Christ was born, he would also be part of the commonwealth. Then the entire world today, our hope hangs on our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus Christ has become the hope of our world. His ministry has brought hope in our world. If Jesus Christ had not lived, many people in this world would find it very difficult. As I said earlier, because of fear of terrorism, talk of biological, chemical, and nuclear warfare, it's very, very important for us to reach other people who do not have the gospel now. Reach other people so that the gospel can transform their life. So therefore, Jesus Christ offers real hope to us as Christians in Africa, and not only in Africa, but also in the world. For instance, the church where I preach, this is what we are trying to do to transform people's minds so that they can live meaningful life. My church is engaged in prison ministry. In fact, in Ghana, when you visit prisons, it's something that it's an eyesore. Sometimes it's very difficult. People go to prison and come back as hardened criminals. So we are engaged in prison ministry to convert many of them. We are also engaged in rural evangelism. That has brought many churches to that area. Apart from that, this is a church that my church established in Ghana, part where I preached, is in a village called Yenkrum. I was there just before the 17th of April. This is the children that we evangelized them. And also, this is the city, the town, or the village where we have established one of the churches over there. Aside, we also offer scholarship to needy but brilliant students. This we are doing on our own. We are not we don't have any support from America or any others. But brethren in my church in Ghana offers help so that we can train these people so that they can become useful to the church in future. So these are some of the people that oversee our scholarship program. And this lady, young lady, is receiving a scholarship for her training. And the two of them are doing that. Then we also have the aged. In Africa, one thing about the aged community is that when you are old, especially when you are a woman, when you are 60, 65, or 70, they brand you as a witch, and they send you away from your house. And most women are treated badly, and therefore they don't have any care. What the church is doing is to take care of such people help to pay their hospital bills and also try to give certain things that will sustain them. This is some of the programs that we organize for the aged in my church where I preach. And also, we provide healthcare to our church members at least once a year. This was in 2014 that we organized a healthcare program. The church pays for the medication. Then we try to organize or mobilize health workers like doctors and nurses to offer their services free of charge. So we do that every year. This was in 2014. Before I came here, just 2016, we organized one. And this was for people who have eye problems. These nurses and doctors offer free service and also pay for the medication. So these are the pictures of some of the programs. Now, my church, together with Peter's Church and Ateku Church and some other churches, we are doing all these programs in Ghana. But we thought that if we don't try to help our brethren in the French speaking countries, it will be very difficult. But as some of them were in Africa, Ghana, and we had a meeting. We said that it's very important that we evangelize this country. So I'll show some pictures to you later. Yeah. For example, Cote d'Ivoire has a population of over 23 million. And the church in Cote d'Ivoire has been there for 44 years. But it has 42 congregations with average membership of 40. You can imagine if you multiply 40 by 42, it's just a small number. And many of these people in Cote d'Ivoire are Muslims. And it's very important that we try to convert them so that they will be transformed by the gospel of Christ. Otherwise, when they become extremists, it will be very, very difficult for us to get them. The church in Mali is also a French speaking country, has a population of about 15 million. The church has been there for 70 years, has 9 congregations across the entire country with an average of 23. So you can see that these nations need help. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for us to get the whole thing radicalized. Then Burkina Faso has a population of 80 million. The church has been there for 29 years. It has 4 congregations with average membership of 15. It's very difficult for us to think about our bread in this country. For example, the church in Ghana has more than 4,000 congregations. And many Ghanaian brethren are involved in evangelism. Therefore, it's important for us to contact these brethren and help them to also evangelize their area. That's why the African Missions Network was formed with the help of Brother Sam Shoemaker and Dan Bouchard. The purpose of this organization is to change the mindset of people, and thereby affect their lives as the gospel is preached across the country. Now, our organization visited Cote d'Ivoire and Benin, Cote d'Ivoire in July and Benin in October 2015 to make assessments as how best we can organize ourselves to evangelism. We plan to go to Cote d'Ivoire once again to make preparations in August 2016 and have a gospel campaign to establish churches in 2017. So for August, when we leave, we're going to prepare for that. What we do is that we want partners to help us in this program. It's very, very important that we get brethren who can help us. So I call it a Macedonian call. In 2014, Brother Sam was there, and Brother Dan was there. We had a meeting. All these preachers are involved in African Mission Network, and their congregations are contributing towards this. We don't have any main support from outside yet. So whatever trip that we make, we try to mobilize resources from our various congregations over here.
Now, these are the our first visit to Cote d'Ivoire.
We were lucky. This is a preacher who speaks French. Twi and English. This is a preacher who speaks French, Twi and English. This is also a preacher who speaks French. This man and Brother Lawrence are already preaching on national television. He preaches in Twi, and he will translate it to French, so that the brethren, French speaking of this, can understand the gospel of Christ. And these brethren are ready to go and stay in these countries as missionaries to help Cote d'Ivoire, Mali, and Burkina Faso hear the gospel. We will also support them. I don't speak French.
Neither do I.
Neither do our chairman also speak French. But we
are trying to support all these brethren. And so it's our visit. When we went for the visit, we were lucky we had leaders from Mali, Burkina Faso, Togo, and Benin. So we had a meeting with them, and we have a plan that will help us to reach these countries. One of the churches that we visited, this is where one of the churches meets, this building. And it's very discouraging. It's not encouraging at all. They need help to overcome their problems. This is one
a church that we visited. It is a house church. The church meets in a brother's house. And he has called upon us to come and help him spread the gospel and also
expand the church in his house. We think that the world will be safer.
The entire world will be safer if we send the gospel to the first big countries and other areas that do not have Christ. No matter the number of ammunition that we buy, or no matter the number of prisons that we build, no matter the number of laws that we put in place, these laws and ammunition and whatever we buy cannot change the mindset of people. It's the only gospel that can change mindset. So it's very important for us to send the gospel everywhere. Therefore, we are appealing to everybody who is here. We need partners to help us to evangelize the world. This is my contact. If anybody needs my contact number is here. I will this time call our chairman to say a few words about it. Thank you.
Well, I'm Peter Donko. When I was coming, my wife gave me a warning, and I would like to share that with you, so that maybe you can understand what I'm speaking. He said, slow down. But I tried to pronounce your words clearly, so that they will understand. She knows I have a problem in pronouncing words. Yes. And so if my wife knows that at home, and I was imagining how you will understand me, and I said, I agree. I am going to speak slowly and loud enough for them to hear me. So, open your ears. Well, I know some and probably that will not have much problem to understand me, because their ears are already tuned to how I speak. Anyway, it's not easy for me to speak that slowly, but I'll try so that I can get to you what I want to share with you. Unfortunately, I don't have it in the way my brother did it. Also, was in a hurry to come and do things and put them there. As he said, we have formed a group or 10 to evangelize in the French-speaking neighboring countries, what we call the Francophone West Africa. I'm very much involved with them, as they made me the chairman for that committee. I consider that as a neglected area. How many American missionaries have been in that part of the world, of Africa? I know you are all over Africa, but not so much in the French-speaking countries. I understand you because of language barrier. However, we can do it without necessarily knowing the language, as we have started doing. I don't speak French. And how can I lead a group to go evangelize the French-speaking country? This is the reason why we look among ourselves in Ghana, those who know the French language, to go with us, to be our interpreters, and then you help to train the local people so that they can take up the work for themselves, just as we are doing. Ghanaians are taking up the evangelization, everything in Ghana for themselves. So we plan to do that. Even though I cannot speak the language, we can get people who can speak and translate so that they can get what we want to share with them.
Yes.
So this is what we are actually doing. I consider it as a neglected area in West Africa or Africa. He said a lot, so let him just add a little bit of what I am personally also doing in Ghana, because I am interested in neglected areas, places where people will not go, or just few people would like to risk their lives to go. In Ghana, let me give this as a rough map. Of Ghana. This section, the southern part, is well evangelized. The 4,000 plus congregations he made mention of, most of them are at this area. And this area also, most of our American missionaries, when they came, they also concentrated. Accra, Kumasi, not up there. Few went up, but they stay here. This portion is neglected. So those people who went up there, you might have heard of the drilling, water drilling project. They were all here, and none here. I call a neglected area. Well, that area, originally, it was difficult to have an access road. But now it's open. They are those who dominate, the Muslims and pagans. And the Catholic Church had done well to open schools and clinics there. So that had helped a lot. So when we go there, at least we can get people who speak English to communicate with, because their language or dialect is quite different from us. She is spoken almost across Ghana, but these neglected rural areas speak Dagadi. And I don't know a word about the language. But as I said, just as I don't understand French, but I'm leading a group to be there, I also got around 7 evangelists who like to go with me. I started going there one after the other. When I'm going, I take one evangelist with me. Oh, let's go and see this place. When they go, they see the need. They come and said, oh, I would like to go every year with you while you are going. And so with that, I've got now 7 from the South here who will go there with me. It's difficult in some way, Because I want to determine, because it's difficult in some way, but God has blessed me to have a vehicle. You can take six. So the first 2 years we used my vehicle. The third year, our church had bought a vehicle we can take 30. So I went with 14 of the people. Not all of them were evangelists, but we had two ladies among us who cook and prepare our meals for us, and some young guys who help also the ladies in preparing our food so that we could concentrate on our teaching and evangelization. What we do is when we go, we inform the various villages that we are stationed in one place so that they could come. It helps because they know when we come, we feed them spiritual and physical food. So I believe that Jesus, in his ministry, when the people were hungry, he fed them. So we will go with quantities of food in our vehicle, use clothes, and what we consider sometimes, now we are thinking of medication, deworming, and anti-malaria drugs. We have now got a medical doctor in our group. So we will be doing that. But we go with these clothes, so we teach them. Those who can speak English or can understand, you group them. And that's where I am interested in our deep roots ones. And those in the local people, we have three people who can speak their language, and they will also take them. There are those who are completely illiterate. They understand nothing but their dialect or if you call them language, and we grew them. A lot of older people too. See, one thing I'm happy and interested about this area is that despite the fact that we have neglected them, both our American missionaries and local, my brother is now convinced. He says, when we go back, he'll go with me. And I'm happy to know that. We spent about a week in Dallas, and our host, the guy who gave us a place to sleep and feed us, he called me this morning. He said, Peter, I'll come to Ghana and go with you to the place. I'm very happy to hear that. And even if I don't gain anything at all from coming here, that alone is something to me, to gain one American as a partner who lets go and see and then how best he can partner with us to do the work there. So we've been able to establish about five congregations here. I say about because some of them are congregations maybe not very much. So I say some. We're able to help some of them put up their meeting places. It's not difficult at all to have a meeting place because they're built of mud. It's not cement, bros, not expensive. Only the roofing need iron heat for them. And personally help in getting some benches for some of them. Those who have not got the meeting place, they meet under trees, especially mango trees, which have got good canopy. But the problem is during the rainy season, no meeting. Because, and this is what I am working at with my congregation to help do that. And just before I came, see, about a year ago, I retired from active preaching for the congregation I'm working with in Kumasi, so that I can concentrate most of my time in this mission work and what I'm trying to do here. So they gave me, if I convert it into dollars, about $7,500 as end of service or retirement benefit. And I'm not saying this to boast for, because I saw the need. I have donated half of them, about $3,500 for the work here. And I asked them to put it in their account. We formed what we call African Rural Evangelism and Project Foundation. They should put that money into the foundation and try how we can build upon it so we get the money we need to help the people here. Among our objectives is not only to give them the gospel of Christ, but also to help them, just as you said, the poor barbarian children over this area, to get them some good water to drink. The Bobo, I've ordered, when I came here, 500 pieces of straw, sieve straw, where you can use it to filter well. And this morning, the guy in Dallas called me. He said he will help me to pay for them. So, but one of the difficulties we face there, I quickly say it and we go, is accommodation. When we go, where to sleep? That's very difficult. Some will sleep in the vehicle, and some, if we are lucky to get a classroom, then we go with a mosquito net and get ourselves covered and put our clothes there. So far, this is what we've been doing, and we'll continue to do that until that place also, like any part in Ghana, is well evangelized. Thank you.
All right. At this time, we'll give the opportunity to you to have questions or comments that you can make. After that, you have some presentations to make. Questions and comments about what is presented so far?
I have my car saved. I'm so interested. Not for you.
I have a question. How do you qualify the kind of individuals or churches to be partners with what you're doing?
What we are looking at is churches who are ready to partner with us in a sense that they, in the early days when American missionaries came to Africa, Ghana for instance, there are a lot of things that they did that was very good. But it appears they imposed on their culture on us, so it became a problem. We now need congregations that will understand us and cooperate with us, learn from us, listen to us, so that together we can work together. We don't want a situation where, yes, you are coming in a problem with your resources, but because we are coming over your sources, we want us to do it this way. That will not help us at all. So individuals and congregations that would like to partner with us, we will see a situation where all of us will listen to ourselves, then together we work. That will be to help us.
In addition to that, not just the resources, person or material or money we need. We need people who will pray with us and for us. Mm-hmm. I have put on this paper, said we need three categories of partners, people who commit themselves to pray with us daily at 10:10. Whenever your watch say 10 minutes after 10, remember us. Pray for African rural evangelism and projects. You can be our partner. continue to pray for us. It's not only just giving us the money.
So we should set an alarm on our
and it can be at the morning or in the evening. Mm-hmm. 10:10 either in the morning or in the evening. Pray for us. For the money and other parts, I will talk about it. If you're interested and you want to help in any way, you can talk about it after the class. Because as it's just me to say, I didn't come here to pray, but to share with you what we are doing. And if you're interested to be a partner, then you work with us in any way that God will allow you to do that. Thank you.
My question, you have up there that you're a radio personality. Is there a radio that the churches own? Or what radio are you on and how far reaching is it? What is the content?
The church does not own a radio station, even though I attempted with my congregation to do that. We had the machines wanted to go on there, but then government did not allow it as a church. It's an individuals. But what we are doing now, we have FM stations all over the country. Of course, this part too, they have, but nobody is preaching on any radio to them. I'm going to add into that so that where I cannot go, our voices of the message can also go in their language. Mm-hmm. There are FM stations across the country, and churches in Ghana, congregations individually, and some have come together to preach on the radio. And so FM preaching is wild, especially in the southern area here. But we don't have a station of our own. And there are two TV broadcasts every week. The one where we are involved, I mean our partner, is involved of translating to French speaking credit. We were happy when we went to Abrico's hotel we lodged, we found that they have a TV, and then we saw that channel, Adom TV. They said, listen to the broadcast from Ghana in French. Mm. And so that one, Lawrence Boudreau, our vice chairman, is doing that, and one of the guys who speak French translated it into French. That's going on. And another one for only local listening.
In fact, in Cameroon, they told us that whenever he comes on air, television, he called people together.
In his house?
Yeah, so that they could listen.
They watch.
Mm-hmm. So you are not talking about radio. I started preaching on radios since 2000. Mm-hmm. I did it for a long period of time. My church is involved in the radio program.
They tried to pull me in there on a radio station. I said, you know the way I speak, so we can support you. And not for me to come and speak on the radio. Mine is to teach. Teach. I am a teacher, maybe by a gifted. Mm. If I teach you and you don't understand, then you need to go somewhere else. I'm developing a paper. How to.
Are you 5 minutes? If you have comments or questions, then if you don't have, you want to make a presentation.
About the French language, I was blessed to live in France for 19 years, in Marseille, France, and the Churches of Christ in France are few in number, and you know it's a very secular country. But I would love to know if there are people who would probably be very interested in helping and coming down, and they already, of course, they're French speaking. Mm-hmm. So maybe afterwards I can talk about
it. That was very good. Mm-hmm. When we went to Dallas, we spoke with the Global Samaritan and some other brethren, and they are giving us French materials for the program this year. So we'll be happy to speak with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Right.
I just wanted to actually help with regards to broadcasting. Sometimes we may not need people to be in a particular country to be able to broadcast.
Right.
Because we have the ability of using technology.
Mm-hmm.
So if the sister has got people that will be interested in being volunteers,
mm-hmm.
That could broadcast from wherever they are via networks. We have technology today that can actually assist us. So we can look at how best we could actually use that without having people to move physically
mm-hmm.
from the countries or where they are
mm-hmm.
To provide such kind of service, because such service could also be pre-recorded. So even the time zone issue may not necessarily be an issue
mm-hmm.
because they could pre-record it and then it can then be played at a particular time that suits that particular country that we need in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at various ways of doing that. As long as we have the physical people that are willing to volunteer their time, and then we could share with them the script or the teaching according to how the driver would like to do it.
Yes.
Maybe Brother Henry Hufford could tell us whether you're planning to, the World Christian Broadcasting is going to be broadcasting in French at all?
That would probably be next after Korean and Portuguese.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for funding to do those.
Okay.
We've wanted to do French for a long time.
So, and with their short wave, they might be able to reach West Africa. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's not a problem. But whether they buy the radios in their markets, which are there, the multiband radios are there, but if people are listening mainly to FM, as you're saying, that's another difficulty factor.
Yeah.
We thank you for attention.
Thank you.
And
thank
God
bless
you.
You. My dear, before you leave, we have a presentation for Vic. Be always grateful to God and to people He uses for His work. There is somebody among us here. I know he hasn't got the money like I don't have. But the lot of that he would like to share in a way. And that he has been very instrumental in even coming here. Even though, as he told us,